Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come to this place today freely to worship you. We thank you for the opportunity we've had to seek your face this morning to worship you. We pray, Lord, that the words that I speak, Lord, are from you, that, Lord, your word goes forth in this place today, none of anyone else's or mine, Lord. We want you to increase, Lord. We want to decrease. We want you to be glorified. So I pray, Lord, that you take this passage and you speak to us in the way that you'd want to speak to. In Jesus' name, amen. And so the passage today that I wanted to focus on for a bit is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I'm going to start to read at verse 15. And some of you might think, well, that's a bit odd. It's the Christmas story. Why are we doing that in March? And it's not really about the Christmas story this morning, but it's looking at the impact that Jesus has on those he comes into contact with. And we're just looking at the first 8 days of his life in this passage today. And so let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 21, and then we'll read 25 to 38. So the angels had just displayed all their glory to the shepherds. Verse 15 says this: when the angels had left them, the shepherds, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And if we go down to verse 25, we read, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.' There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." So a number of things in this passage that I feel God wants to draw out this morning. But there are times in our life when we see, and there are times in our life when we see, when we really see. And I mean see, S-E-E, in bold, italics, capitals, in neon lights. There are times when we see and signs when we deeply see. There are times in our life when we observe and others when we notice things, and times when we really study what we see in front of us. My son at the moment is collecting football stickers for an album. all 540-odd or so of them. And he studies them day and night to see what is missing, what he needs next, what the gaps are, what strategy he will develop to swap cards he no longer needs. And at the moment, there are a number of Chelsea cards available, Trevor, if you're interested. Not much call for them. He looks for the cards he no longer needs, for the card he needs. He prepares himself. He studies his album diligently for what he wants to see. Other examples might be, I don't know, your first love, the first person you met. You really saw them, you really studied them, you really saw the beauty in them. It might be your first home or your first car, or whatever it is. And let's just put this picture up for a moment. Let's just test this out, shall we? What do we see? And in a moment, I'm hoping there'll be a picture up on the board, on the screens. And it's a sketch. What do you see? Beauty. I'll tell you what we see. On the picture, you can see an elderly lady with a scarf over her head. You see her rather pointy nose. You see her closed mouth. But also, in another way at the picture, you can see a young lady who's looking away from us. You see her jawline. You just see her eyelashes. You see her dark hair. You see the hat on her head. Or you see two ladies. The point is, what do you see? We see different things. We study things and we see things. Another example, we can take that down now. That's great, thank you. Another example, I remember a few years ago, Juanita spoke to us one Sunday morning, and she showed us a photograph. And she'd been on holiday in Austria, and all you could see in this photograph was mist and fog. Nothing to see. Yet the next day on this holiday, Terry and Juanita, they saw no fog, but brilliant sunlight. They saw magnificent mountains ahead of them, beautiful meadows in front of them, bright blue sky all around them. Yet the picture you saw of the fog, you didn't see any of the other things, but they were there. You could not see them, yet they were there. And then they were displayed before you when the fog had lifted. You could see clearly. So we might see things in this physical. We might see things in the physical. We may not see things in the physical. But what do we see with our spiritual eyes? Well, the best way to know what you are seeing spiritually is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So what is it like? What do we mean to fix our eyes on Jesus? Jesus was perfect. His heart was pure. He was holy. He was faultless. He was blameless. He never lied. He loved those around him. His every action was rooted in love. So he's worth seeing, he's worth fixing our eyes on. So the question today really is not about what do we see, but what do we see with the eyes of our heart. So let's come back to our passage, to Luke chapter 2, verse 15. The shepherds, they'd just seen the heavenly hosts singing glory to God in the highest. That might have been enough for some. But no, they wanted more. They wanted to see the one who sent the angels. They wanted to see Jesus himself. Luke chapter 2, verse 15 says, they said to each other, come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened. And they weren't disappointed. Verse 17 and 18 says, they told everyone what had happened. All were astonished. Jesus was less than a day old, and the shepherds had been converted into the first evangelists. They told everyone about Jesus. All were astonished. But in verse 19, we see a different reaction from Mary, his mother. And we'll come back to Mary in a little while. And we read on, and in verse 25, we see Simeon. Simeon was a righteous, a devout man, filled with the Holy Spirit. Who in verse 26, the Holy Spirit tells Simeon that that he will not die before he sees the Messiah. And 8 days after Jesus was born, he was presented at the temple, and that word became true for Simeon. Simeon saw with his heart, his spiritual eyes, that the bundle in front of him, the baby Jesus, covered in blankets and swaddling clothes, you could hardly see him, but he saw that the baby Jesus was the Messiah himself and God. And verse 29 tells us something incredible, I think. Simeon says, I can die in peace now. I've seen the Savior you have given to all the people. For Simeon, in his life, seeing Jesus was enough. He wanted to live until he had seen the Savior. Nowadays, we want to live and we have our bucket lists and we want to see the things of the world. We take them off, don't we? I want to go to Stonehenge. I want to go to Big Ben, to the Northern Lights, to the Grand Canyon, or whatever it is. And there's nothing wrong in that at all. But Simeon gives us an example of something that's different, that's more eternal, a more everlasting perspective of what it is to live in this life, to have a dream about Jesus. I mean, the Bible tells us so little about Simeon. It says he's righteous and devout, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit, but he's old. He's lived a life, but all we hear in the Bible and see in the Bible is that he was waiting for something special, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And Simeon, I think, teaches us a bit about how we should respond. He praised the Lord. He praised God. He was grateful for what he had seen and what God had done. He was a worshipper. He led a life of devotion, prepared him for this moment that he'd longed for. He listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit because he was so close to him. He followed his leading to go to the temple. He found the Messiah, this baby Jesus, 8 days old. He praised God for fulfilling his promise. And then what does he do? He blesses Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. He blesses them. Simeon, he waited patiently. The Holy Spirit revealed what he would see, but not when he would see it. He had to wait for the Lord to reveal the Messiah at the right time. For the shepherds, Simeon, they were not satisfied with just hearing about the Son of God. They wanted to see him. It was him they came to see, and they went to great lengths to see Jesus. And let's move on to verse 36 and Anna. Anna, she was a prophet. She was 84 years old. She never left the temple, but she stayed there day and night, worshipping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking to Mary and Joseph, and she began to praise God and told everyone about Jesus. The prophet also became the evangelist because she had seen Jesus. She could not help but tell everyone that she'd seen him. And so what do we learn of Anna? We think we're quite clever these days, don't we, in this days of equal opportunities and political correctness and equality for everyone. Well, this 84-year-old, back 2,000 years ago, was a prophetess. It was unheard of, a lady, a woman, being a prophetess. But here we have an 84-year-old being a prophet in the temple. Nothing's impossible with God. And the temple, it became her home. And remember, our bodies are our temples. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So what's a home in our hearts, in our temples? There's a saying, isn't there, certainly in business circles, it's called GIGO, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. What do we feed our heart? What's our passion? How do we spend our time? See, the things we usually spend our time on are normally the things that we're passionate about. Anna, she stayed in the temple all the time. Today, everything's so instant. Time is money. And we can learn some things from Anna. She recognized that waiting meant preparing for God's leading. She put all else aside so that she could hear God's voice. For Anna, waiting was not simply marking time. It was a time of joyful expectation as she waited for God's word to come true. There are words over my life that have not yet come true. Some of them go back 30 years. Yet I no longer strive to see them fulfilled because I know that God's timing is perfect. When he speaks, God will just perform what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And there are those I know that are here today who've not yet seen those words God has spoken over you fulfilled. But don't lose hope. See the example of Anna as someone who waited patiently, eagerly, joyfully for God's word to be fulfilled, because it will be fulfilled in your life. And let's not confuse waiting with laziness or inactivity or having no purpose in life. We have to trust God and to learn to surrender every area of our life to him. We learn to lean on God more and more and less on ourselves. And Galatians 5 verse 22 shows us the fruit of the Spirit. And part of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. We should pray for patience to see those things that God has promised us fulfilled. It's not something we're always good at, not something I'm always good at, patience. But it's something I know I should focus on, something I know that God is talking to me about. Time and time and time again, the Bible tells us to wait upon the Lord. To wait upon the Lord. So how is that going in our lives? How's that going in my life? Have we that time that we can be quiet and where we can read God's word and where we can pray and where we can really see the Lord because we know the Lord and wait upon him? And so we've talked a little bit about those who wanted to see Jesus. But the passage also tells us that Jesus, he wanted and he wants to be seen. Whether it's a fanfare of angels, bright stars in the sky, whether it's in the temple or whether it's in the hills, whether it's a complete surprise to someone, whether it's a lifetime of waiting, Jesus wants to be seen. From the age of less than one day, Jesus was seen and no one was turned away. And those examples, they continue throughout the Gospel of Luke in particular. If you read on in Luke, you can see how the disciples saw Jesus, how Matthew, the tax collector, saw Jesus, how the 5,000 who came to see him speak in chapter 9, they saw him. And we can also see in Scripture, in the Gospel of Luke, how it is for those who don't want to seek him. King Herod, the religious leaders in the temple, they were more concerned with the application of the law than actually the person that they were seeking, they were blessing. More consumed with following the law of sacrifice. Doesn't often end well. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. Seek Jesus and you will see him. No one is turned away and no one is ever disappointed. So I said we'd come back to Mary. In verse 19 of chapter 2, the word says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let's try and imagine we're Mary for a moment. It's modern day. I know it's harder for some of us, more harder than others, but it's modern day. So let's bring this up to the modern era. So you're Mary, so you imagine yourself, you're a teenager, you're in love, you're about to set up home with the love of your life. And can you imagine an angel appearing before you with a message that you've been chosen for a special task? You've just sat down in front of the telly, watching Emmerdale. Pizza's in the stone oven. Your fiancé Joseph's popping round. He's had a hard day's work at the local apprenticeship scheme, training to be a carpenter. His favourite programme's on tonight, DIY SOS. And he wants to say goodnight to you. And this angel appears. He doesn't knock. He stands right in front of the telly. And he tells you, you are going to perform a special task for God. Well, I don't know about teenagers today, but this teenager, she accepted the news even though her life was laid out before her. It will be turned upside down by this message. And many, many people, as we know, will misunderstand her, including Joseph. But Mary, she's a great example of someone who's a worshiper because she knows God. And when you know God, you know that God is good. Amen. And Mary, she knows that God's intention was to do her good. He exalts those like Mary who are humble and shows us mercy when we trust in him. Despite the troubles ahead, Mary, she was faithful. So whilst the shepherds rush to Bethlehem and tell anyone and everyone they see about the angels, Mary ponders in her heart. So what does to ponder mean? It means to think about something carefully, especially before making a decision or reaching a conclusion. The Oxford definition says things like to give thought to consider, to review, reflect on, mull over, study, meditate on, muse on, deliberate about, cogitate on, dwell on, brood on or over, ruminate on or about, chew over, puzzle over, speculate about, weigh up, turn over in one's mind. So that's great, but what does it mean to ponder in your heart? It's more than just thinking. It's trying to feel it out as well as thinking about it, to discern, to see things through your heart, to see things with your spiritual eyes. And so for Mary, we see her on a number of times in the Gospels that often she's contemplating. Firstly, we see when she's told she'll conceive a child, she's contemplating, she ponders in her heart. In this passage today, she treasures up these things and ponders them in her heart. And then when Jesus is 12 years old, later on in the Gospels, and found amongst the temple teachers, she's contemplating. And maybe it's easier to relate to Mary's story if you've been a parent, to know that joy of bringing a new life into the world and the challenges of them growing up, but also the fear and the knowledge that our children will be hurt at some point and perhaps their hearts will be broken. But it isn't just that parent relationship and the knowledge that sometimes we have to let our loved ones grow up or we see them grow old. And all we can do is watch but make ourselves available to make that time and that space to be there for them. To do this well, we have to ponder in our hearts, to be less busy, to be less self-centered, to be less materially committed or insensitive to the things around us. I was so blessed that we prayed and talked this morning about some of those things going on and about the bakeries in North Korea, about all these organizations that bring us back to earth in terms of the stuff that's going on around in our earth today. We don't want to miss the life to the full that God has given us by living our lives so busily that we miss the true meaning and purpose and we fail to really see what it is to be alive right now and in his kingdom. It's an age of mobile phones, apps, Facebook, instant messaging, Instagrams, etc., etc. In the same way, we should make space and time to value those we love, we need to make space for Jesus. Even if it's when we catch small times on our own. Maybe it's going to be a walk by the beach or in the rich tapestry of countryside in Suffolk that God's given us. Or it's time at home, and maybe it is that quiet time in the early morning or late at night when we have time to really make space for Jesus. To spend time with our Saviour, to know his heart, to be refreshed, to know his thoughts. To dream big dreams with our Saviour, to hear his word and his heart, to know him, to really know him and see him. To give thought to the really important big question, why am I here? What is the meaning of life? Who is this Jesus? We may have plans, but God directs our steps. God chooses and we follow if we surrender to him. Psalm 21 verse 2 says this, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. That's the King James Version. Most other versions, they say, the Lord searches the heart. But King James says, the Lord pondereth the hearts. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, says he rewards those who diligently seek him. I.e. to do it with our whole hearts. To step back from the small pursuits of the world and to seek the King with our whole hearts. The shepherds, they weren't satisfied with angels. They wanted to see the King. They wanted to seek him, and seek him they did. Simeon pursued a lifelong purpose of seeing Jesus. Anna was faithful. She worshipped day in, day in, day out in the temple to see Jesus. Mary saw all these things around her and she pondered them and treasured them in her heart. I think my word to you today is to be a risk taker in everything you do to see Jesus, because God rewards those who seek him and see him. So, in conclusion, I think my comments today are really this. If you don't yet know Jesus, he wants you to see him. Give serious thought this day to the one, King Jesus, who wishes to be sought and wishes to be found, because it will change your life forever. And for those in this place who are waiting, he wants you to know he sees your faithfulness and your heart. He's faithful. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Cast your cares on the Saviour. And for those who are pondering, he wants you to have the assurance that he's with you. That deep, deep, deep within you, you will see his purposes for you in your life. So let's just close our eyes for a moment and let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the example of the shepherds who held nothing back because they wanted to see you. And when they'd seen you, they were so impacted they could not help but tell each and every one of them about you. And people were astonished because they'd seen you. I thank you for your word that places normal people like Simeon and Anna in your word because they have an important part of your story. Because they waited for you, they searched for you, they looked for you, they were faithful in their calling. That, Lord, it doesn't matter what's gone on before, how old we are, how young we are, Lord, we thank you that each and every one of us, Lord, we're blessed when we see you and when we follow you. And we thank you, Lord, for the example of Mary. We thank you, Lord, that it's good to spend time with you. We thank you, Lord, that it's the one thing that we should do in our lives that's more important than others. We thank you, Lord, that our lives are centered around eternal things, not worldly things. We thank you, Lord, that we have an everlasting life, an eternal future. And we thank you, Father, that you want to be found, that this day and this place, Lord, you want to take each and every one of us to a new place, a new journey with you, Lord. Lord, we want to be seekers, not settlers. We want to be people, Lord, who seek you and move more into the things of you, Lord. We want our hearts to be in tune with your heart, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you pondereth the hearts of each and every one of us, Lord. You search our hearts, that you're real with us. And we pray this day, Lord, that as we move on this morning, Lord, that you, we know that you're with us. We know that you have the best for us. And we know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is with us. And that we don't have to do anything on our own, Lord, because you're with us, because you direct our steps, because you, well, we want your will, Lord, to be fulfilled in our lives in every way. And we thank you for the example of Jesus. We thank you that even from day one of his life, Lord, we can see that he impacted people in a new way, Lord. We can see that people were transformed. And we pray that we're transformed, Lord, afresh, by a fresh encounter with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.